Okay, good evening. So, just to review, so last week we discussed how egregious, and I think Mrs. Weinman did a good job of explaining to the boys, to the kids, not for this kid, for, you know, that Kas is egregious. It is destructive, it is egregious, not only for the people around you, whose lives you make difficult, you ruin, relationships that are fractured, we mentioned, but it's egregious for the person involved, because a person who has Kas, a person who has anger, their own neshama is damaged, their own soul is hampered. They themselves have, as the language of the Zohar, their hearts ripped, their neshama ripped. And the reason I pointed out it's so important to recognize that Kas is toxic is because if we know how dangerous it is, that we'll know that there's never a good reason for it. There's never an excuse. Part of the difficulty of overcoming anger is that anger, we rationalize. We imagine this anger is okay. I would imagine everyone at this table would concur that beating a child is not patching lightly, occasionally, but beating a child is never okay. It's in fact, even saying it and thinking about it revolts us. Well, if we had the same revulsion when thinking about anger, we wouldn't ever look at it as acceptable. Part of the challenge is that we think it's acceptable. What we really spoke about for a few minutes last week is that anger is always evil. Anger is always problematic. And memela, it's never acceptable. So what we discuss is the most important antidote to do anger, towards anger, is savlanus, is patience, is being bearing, right? Bearing a little bit of a burden. And we pointed out that if you want to be successful in any relationship, you have to have savlanus, right? Whether you're two people learning b'chavrusa, or you're two friends, certainly in marriage, or with relatives, if you want to have a deep, long-term relationship, you have to bear with other people. Everyone's different. Today somebody's tired, today somebody puts up, has this in this mood, someone feels this way, some people make comments around you, some people appreciate the comments, some people don't, and they're innocent comments. And in order to have an ability to remain calm, because remember, as we mentioned last week, anger doesn't just ruin you for the moment, it ruins your day, it ruins who you are as a person. Well, you have to be able to tolerate, right? Patience, we often, savlanus comes from a language of being to soivel, to be able to bear, and to be able to tolerate people around you, and not only people, we mentioned Hashem, Kavayachal, we'll see this today as well, people get angry at Hashem, God gives them tests, challenges, sometimes big, sometimes small, and people literally take out their anger at Hashem, and that's because they themselves are not patient and bearing. They expect life to go the way that they like. Right? Wouldn't it be nice if everything was, I want this and this is what happened. Like little kids. Sometimes you have a little kid, they want something, and they really want it, and you don't get it. What do they do?
They have a temper tantrum.
Wow, so everyone's experienced this besides me?
Oh, right. Okay.
So you have a temper tantrum. So we sometimes are those little kids. Now we look at the little kid, it's like, you know, they were to Pars. I'm sure you've seen this in Pars. Once in a while, right? Sure, that's the Levine kids, but some kids go there and the parents say no. And the kid says, I want this chocolate, a gozi, whatever it may be. And the kid throws a tantrum. And we look at it like he's a little kid, but we do the same thing. We think we want to be healthy. We want to make a living, you know, some people want to get married, whatever it may be, right? And it doesn't go exactly the way we liked, exactly at the right time. And we get upset, and we don't stick to the fight. On the contrary, we get angry, we get depressed, we get frustrated, and that also creates an anger, God forbid, to Kavayachal Hashem. So what we discussed last week, and I'll reiterate this, and I'll repeat it again, that I'm honored, really, that people come to hear me, but the point of this is not to listen to me or even to take notes, which is certainly recommended, but to improve ourselves. And the way we'll improve ourselves is by actually bringing it to practice, that just talking about it and imagining it is not enough. It actually has to be that we bring it into our day and day life. So we discussed last week that you should pick a time. So I'll tell you, I'll share with you. I picked a dinner time for me. You know, can I have a heart with a few kids? If you've ever been at my table for dinner time, you'll learn that if you don't have savlanas, you will be very frustrated. Not only will you be very frustrated, you won't enjoy your dinner. Not only will you not enjoy your dinner, you'll make people's lives unnecessarily miserable, because kids are kids, and they're going to test your patience. So I worked on my time is dinner time. And no one has to share. I'm just sharing, just to give an idea, what I did. Maybe people can learn from that. And I did recommend that to pick that 15 minutes a day, and that 15 minutes is no matter what. No matter what, you cannot lose your patience and get angry. Now, the author pointed out that having patience doesn't mean being apathetic. It doesn't mean not reacting when you're supposed to react. For example, he gave an example. If you see somebody, Sarah Cohen, eating her cheeseburger from Sharon, Massachusetts, so if Sarah Cohen is eating her cheeseburger in front of you, and Sarah Cohen knows better, you shouldn't be there apathetic and not doing anything. You should say, now you don't scream at Sarah, what are you, out of your mind? You know, and throw rocks at Sarah. Right? Scream at her, that's not going to help you, and it's not going to help her. So the point was that you should be able to care enough about your friend, the person you care about, Sarah, but to say it nicely. Or to say it without any anger. On the contrary, say it out of love. Sarah, you know better. Now, if Sarah doesn't know about kosher, or it's very far from that, maybe don't say that about her. But think about how it's something to make her startle, you know. But not to be apathetic. If you see somebody taking drugs, I can't get angry, so I won't say anything at them. You know, I'll be quiet. Oh, so if you're at a dinner table, for example, personal example, and your kid takes the ketchup and... It's my 15 minutes, and I can't get angry. So I won't say which kid. No, that didn't happen, by the way. But if it did happen, I wouldn't say to them quietly, and my kid then, you know, dump the soup over. So I would say calmly, which is the way you should always do it. And if I had to get angry, it would be external anger, not internal. This is unacceptable. You mean to react without getting emotionally angry, because we're in that 15 minutes. So again, 15 minutes a day, no matter what you do. And then we recommended to have a partner, ideally. Again, this class is for all of us. If you want to conquer anger, or whatever we're going to do next after this, you got to work on it. I mean, this is what life is about. I mean, if we could be successful in this, the dividends in this world and the next, for ourselves, for our family, are unlimited. It's mind-boggling. The qualitative life will have better if we're not angry. Now, Mrs. Gadali asked me at the end last night, well, most people don't have raging anger, you know, but most people have, you know, frustrations and disappointments and anger. Sometimes some people, their anger turns to depression. Really, depression. They're depressed about their situation, depressed about their relationships, depressed with Hashem. Some people turn this to anger. Literally, they scream at people. Some people just turn this to frustration. And then some people, they just don't function as well as they could. Everyone reacts differently. You know, my kids got sick this week, so everyone got sick in a different way. No two kids get sick the same exact way. Right? The mothers are all nodding their heads, right? Okay. And the symptoms are the same sickness, different symptoms, different kids. Well, people, anger is bad for all. And different people react differently. Mm-hmm. Just like stress is not good for anybody. Okay. By the way, if we work on our savlanus, we'll have a lot less stress. So we'll be able to bear a lot more in life. Mm-hmm. Happily. That's not talking about ready to burst. But people react differently. So we mentioned a great idea, and that is to have, after your 15 minutes a day, you have a partner. Did you do it with Mrs. Hartman?
No, she
lived. I know she's in Florida, but you didn't do it with her? She's not your partner?
She left right away.
She left the next day. I was wondering, you were walking by yourself. I was wondering, what happened, you know, call on the phone as you're walking.
Did you feel a little anger about that?
So the point is really, it's, again, you know, it sounds a little whatever, but if you had something to talk it over with, how you did, an auto with a friend, it would be fantastic. I'm not asking if you did it, except I was UIC walking with her in the morning when I drive by there. But Meridian, you know. Oh. So, but my point is if you really want to gain, and it could even not be someone in this class, if you want to review it with your spouse. Your spouse will be a great judge, by the way. If you really want to make sure you did a good job, tell them those 15 minutes and they'll see how you did. Right? But you know what? The gain is ours. The gain is really ours, because if we change, we are not 10 times, we're geometrically much greater people. We're bigger vessels to do what God wants us in this world. The more calm, cool, relaxed we are in life, the better our relationships will be with everyone, because, you know, again, as mentioned, one of the greatest glues in, whether it's in marriage and any relationship, is trust. And you can trust a person who's consistently your friend, consistently calm to you and caring to you and giving. I once dealt with a Shalom Bayis case. This is a very interesting case. It was not a husband and wife, it was a parent-child relationship. And the child had a very traumatized relationship with their parent. 90-something percent of the time, 95%, let's imagine, that parent was caring, giving, kind, nice. 5% of the time, parent was irrational, screaming, if I can use the word, lunatic. So what happened? Right? 95% of the time, cool, calm, relaxed. That 5%, the kid never knew when it was going to happen. And they were always on shpilkas. They're always on their, when is this person going to explode at me? So the 95%, unfortunately, was not paid attention to. Right? We can imagine. You know, we hear, imagine a husband, because we're all ladies here, except myself. Husband's a nice guy. Certainly nice. Brings flowers every Shabbos. Makes his bed. I mean, how kind of husband makes his bed, you know? I never heard of such a person. So, makes his bed, you know, cleans up after himself, is courteous, but once a month he beats his wife. And you don't know what's going to happen, right? So, do you think, if that beating can happen any time during the month, right? It kind of, do you think the wife is going to be calm any ever in the month? Because he can snap that one time at any point. So, my point is that if that 95% of the time could be lost by 5%, so if you want to have great relationships with people, whether it's your spouse, parent, child relationship, parent, child, parent relationship, right, it's integral to have trust. And the way you trust is by being consistently being able to deal with that relationship. And guess what? Every close relationship are going to have things that you don't like. Sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional, and if we don't learn how to bear. And bear again, when people get angry or disappointed or sad or upset, it manifests people different ways. There are people who lose their cool and throw dishes and who knows what, right? And there's people who scream and people don't talk. I once had somebody, I can't say something, but let's put it this way, the wife had nothing to do with the husband. Like, literally, after they had to fight, didn't scream at him, didn't throw anything, just nothing. Zero. Weren't, like, ignored. So some people, like, that's extreme, completely ignored. But some, relationship cools. You're just cool to the person. You're not warm. You know, you warm people, you can feel when they're warm, you can feel there's a cooling. So if we want to have great relationships to others and with Hashem, right, there are people who, when life is going great, they can come pray. Woo! You look at them like, and when life is not the way they like, they can't open up to Him and say the word, right? Or they can't do with their heart into it. So the more we gain and glean, the better it will be on so many levels. And the dividends multiply. So again, I just say this, because, you know, there's a lot of opportunity lost in life. Opportunity to improve ourselves is what life is all about. The Vilna Gaon writes in Eben Shlomo, they quote the Vilna Gaon, that the whole tachlis achayim, the whole purpose of life, is to fix our character traits. Right? Fixing character traits, as discussed, does not happen from shiurim. It helps, step one. It's important to have the right process, but it happens with work. Right? Nothing good happens automatically. if it would just be here like class and voila, you know, I'm better. My life would be easy. That's not what life is about. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. But the rewards are unbelievably fantastic, both in this world and next. Okay, so we're two VODs today, which are actually very different. One's a little bit short, which will give us a little bit of an assignment. But one's a little bit longer. We're going to discuss Mrs. Avni's question from last week, because that's VOD number two. Okay, so Rav Ovadia says as follows. Rav Simcha Zissel, who is the Alter Mikelem, the greatest disciple, the greatest student of Rabbi Saul Salanter. He founded a yeshiva called the Kelm Yeshiva, which made many of the mashkichim, many of the spiritual leaders of the Lithuanian yeshivas. He writes as follows: Savlanus he shoresh kol midas hamalas. Patience, being able to bear, is the root of all good character traits and noble attributes. Now, where is he coming from? It's a pretty bold statement. Umikor devarav, and the source for his words, is betorma devar shel haramak, is from the day tree of the devar, from the Moshe Kar devar. Anyone ever hear that book at work? I hope you did. I gave a class this last winter. So it was the torma devar of the ramak, right? Shikasa about devar maham is a fantastic work, unbelievable work. One day I will give it a class again, just because that text was fantastic. Targum translated it, but like any translation, a lot is in the depth. It's a Kabbalistic work. Shikasa was a devar niskavim. So the work, of course, talks about the 13 attributes of how Hashem, of mercy, how Hashem rules and deals with the world from based on a verse in Micha, which we say when by Tashlich, right? That verse we say in Tashlich. In fact, the main thing of Tashlich is saying these 13 attributes of mercy found in Micha. So it says as follows: Mikel kamoicha, Moira al Hayayis Hakadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ne'elav. When we say Mikel kamoicha, it shows that God is a despised king. Imagine God's a despised king. Soivil Elboin, Mashlich Luhara Ayon. He takes humiliation, God, Kaviyachol. Remember, this is a Kabbalistic work. More than the imagination could possibly think about. Hay ein davar nistar mashka chasavli safek. God knows everything of every moment of each of us, of every day of our life. Everything. And not only about us in this room, but everyone in this world. Right? God is all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, constantly knows what, he knows what you're thinking right now. I don't know what you're thinking right now, but God knows what you're thinking right now. Right? At this moment, the oyd in rega shlo ye adam knows that God know all, but there's no second of existence. Shlo ye adam nizon umiskayim mikoych elyon umashpilav. Each one of us who are alive right now, thank God, are being put into existence by God. If God would take off that, someone would have a heart attack, die on the spot. We wouldn't be here. So each, at every human being, every moment of the day, God is continually giving chayim, continually giving life. Timsa shemo'olam lochat adam negdo shlo yiyahu ba'oysa rega mamish shofea shefa kiyumo utnus evarav. Right, so imagine when a person sins. I discussed this at length. I'm not going to focus on this as much now, but when I gave this class, but when a person's sinning, right, there's a general who just resigned, actually the head of the CIA, right, as he was sinning, God gave him life. By the way, it's unbelievable when you really think about how the Yetzirah works. A person can give up so much for a few seconds. Right? You know how the Yetzirah works in life. You look at just a person gets blinded of what's important. You look, when you see these human examples, if anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, you can read the front page of any newspaper tomorrow. My point is when you look how the Yetzirah can blind a person to what, for small pleasure, the consequences in marriage and career and life. The guy's a finished guy. He'll never, his family, like, And that's how the Yetzirah does with all of us, by the way. Just, that's just a side point. Like, Yetzirah is able to blind the person so much to not realize consequences. Well, you know where the greatest blinding is? As we are sinning, God's giving us life. Literally, I mean, as God's giving us the life to sin, imagine the fun thing. A father giving a son something, and the son punching the father in the eye as he gives it to the son. Right? God's giving us life, or it's like, boom! You know, the point of life is not to sin, not to do something illicit. And as God gives us life, we're just going, bam, thanks for the life. Right? You know, so God is at some level of the spot. Could you imagine? As He's giving the human being life, they're sinning. God doesn't pull back life just because the person sins immediately. Of course, eventually there's a reckoning. But at the moment the person's sinning, doing something illicit, whether it's vulgar, whether it's a sin of omission, which means they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, God is not pulling back life. It means He's giving life at that moment, even though a person sins. And for that reason, God is a despised king. He's soiva olbon kazeh, right? He has mushba b'kochnos evarov. God, so much that He gives a person life, and at that moment where God's giving a person life, the person is taking that life, b'chet, in sin, v'ovon, in iniquity, in angering God, v'kosh baruch hu, God holds back. V'loy toimer sheri yachlem noimer atov. Don't think that God can't take a person's life. In one second, the God could have taken away even the ability to sin. A person sinning with his hands, with his eyes, with his ears, with his head, with whatever it may be. And God could pull back and not allow him to do it, but he still gives the person life. Now, why God allows it, of course, is for free will, not our conversation right now. So the angels call God Melech Olav. Right? He's a despised king. This is as the Moshe Kardavaro, who is the Rebbe of that was the biggest Kabbalist before the Rizal. God, you are the kindest, the most giving. You could have taken revenge and collected what's yours. And nevertheless, you bear the Nelav, and you stay despised. Also, you give a person a chance to atone. I mean, if God wanted to really go to any college fraternity and sorority, it'd be like, they have life, but they clue what they're doing. Like, there's no musog, no comprehension of what life is about and why we're here in this world. So as God's giving these people life, it applies to all of us also. None of us can say that, you know, who can say they don't sin? I'm just picking some where it's obvious. Bahari mida zush sarcha adam asana. But now, we think God's all kind. God can bear, even though that same human, 99.9% of the humans who He creates, as He's giving them life, they're going ahead and squander, if not wasting it, doing something which is usually the antithesis of it. Not only is this an attribute for Hashem, but it's an attribute for us. We have to aim for this level. No, here Rav Volbo explains. This is the first in the work of the Torah Devarah of the 13 attributes of mercy. This is how God runs the whole world as we speak at this moment. The author wrote this approximately almost 500 years ago. And at this moment, right now as we're living, God's giving constant life. People, who knows what they're doing right now in the world, right? Constantly. So it's only an advantage right now. Right? Every second God has this. If God did not have this attribute, by the way, what would happen to us, to the world? We couldn't exist. The world would not be able to exist. Right? It's a good thing God is despising, because we would not exist. We should follow Hashem. That we should also carry our world. What does that mean? Gama odem mashpia tov v'chesed. A person could do good, kind, invest in people, invest in things. Miyam imishu b'sivosav, pogerbo, oiververo. we do some favors to somebody, and the minute they hurt us, we pull back. No, we pull back. Sometimes, by the way, people you help the most are the people who go after you the most. Right? It's almost sometimes they, you know, there are many people who are very appreciative, and there are other people who are uncomfortable with the help, or they feel guilty, or they're just ingrates. Moshe Sherif. Everyone wants to read a nice biography. Moshe Sherif was the head of Agudas Yisrael of America for many years. And he was really responsible for much of the positive things that Orthodoxy achieved on a legislative level and on a public relations level for many, many years. The fact that you can, you know, many of the accomplishments as far as day schools getting any government money, or people not working on Shabbos, or standardized tests being not taken on Shabbos, we don't realize it. We think it's great. If I have the LSATs on Tisha B'Av, I don't have to take it. You know, since when? You know, you in 1925, that was not the case. You had to work on Shabbos, you lost your job. Right? A lot of individuals, Ramosha was probably first and foremost, not the only one to be involved, but probably the most important. So he once said, when he does someone a favor, he hopes after a while they only throw pebbles and not stones at him. Because very often the same person you helped out so much, they're the ones that come against you. Like, you know, here you help the person out, and on the contrary, they're unappreciative, or they even vilify you. Now that's by public officials. By public officials, it can be, you know, people could really have ingratitude. But even in our daily relationships, it could be you went out of your way. This lady had a baby. You helped her, and you did this and this and this and this. And the day you get sick, there's no time for you. I invest in her. I'm friendly. I listen to her stories. I have a story to tell her, something on my mind. This person doesn't listen. So what's our reaction usually when we have this? So I'll tell you a much shared reaction. He didn't stop giving. This is why I'm using him as an example. He didn't say, oh, this guy didn't help me out. I'm never helping him again. Or I invest in this. I'm going to, on the contrary, I'll either ignore or be angry at, you know, or be furious at. That's it. No, a person does something, right? We don't like it, so we pull back. Sometimes we're stuck. It's our spouse. We're not going to never talk to them again. But we're not going to be so giving, right? It's all ladies here, and you know, a wife puts on makeup every day for a husband. She comes home. Good thing to do. Fantastic thing to do. Jewish thing to do. You know, people would put on makeup when they go to JSN dinner. I never saw in the court a source that, oh, you want to look respectable, you go out. When your husband comes home, I will give you 5 sources that you should do that. It's a fantastic gesture of shalom bias. Fantastic. Right? Now, he comes home, he's upset. I can put on makeup for him. That person, that's reactive, right? I'm not doing this for this guy. You know, so reactive. I mean, so that's a negative. You do it, and he doesn't respond. He didn't say thank you. Or it was a general thank you. It wasn't a specific thank you. And one thing they tell Chassan, and boys don't get this, by the way, but I always explain to them, when your wife does something, you have to be specific and say thank you. Like for a boy, like thank you is enough. Like, you know, what if this? You know, but the details are important. So, lady, does this make sense to you, by the way? Yeah, okay. So,
can I ask a man when someone's had a baby, how much did the baby weigh, how long was the baby? I don't know. Ask a woman, she knows every single detail about the newborn.
Absolutely true.
Right, So
now imagine, since men are Martians, okay, you react. So how do you react? You're not going to get angry at your husband. That's just not. And people who do that, obviously, when they're married. So that doesn't happen. But what you do is you react that you're a little colder, or you don't put on the makeup, or you don't make him his favorite dish. When life is good, you'll make him that fish. That Spanish mackerel, the fish that he loves, with his sauce, I'm going to put in extra effort. I'm not in the mood. Can you have some frozen food? You sell frozen fish? I like the frozen fish is very good, but it's not the same. Right? Right? You sell regular fish also, so we get the regular fish. But, right? But, we'll make some, you know, frozen pizza. After, you have to make him that. Usually when you're in a good mood, you'll do a lot more, right? You know, so, if you're not in a good mood, you'll hold back a little bit. That's called reacting, right? That's showing your upsetness. And other people, it could be you have nothing, you won't give to them anymore at all. Because you have the ability not to give to them, your ability not to invest them. But he knows the oitzav v'chas v'shalom v'gamu machar v'salomu. Right? He doesn't have to do any more chesed. A guy, I remember somebody lent his car, and somebody ruined the car. Okay. So again, sometimes you get burnt, you learn a lesson that you don't give a car to a 60-year-old. It's a good lesson to learn. So, but you know what? If you give a car to a 35-year-old who's responsible, most probably, under the laws of nature, has no traffic tickets, it's a safe bet, right? Why shouldn't you lend a person a car who needs a car, who's a safe driver? Now, if you can't sleep at night because you do that, that's just not for you. But if there's no reason, right, not to, just because you had a bad experience once, you won't be turned off. So even in relationships, no one's talking about taking abuse and not correcting it, right? But the reaction is, I'm not wearing makeup because I'm upset. It's not a corrective measure. That's an emotional reaction. Corrective measures, communication is important. If you're disappointed, communicate with your husband when you're calm, as I mentioned last week. Never when you're upset, because he doesn't hear the message. He just sees an upset wife. Hopefully not irate, but right, but certainly upset. And if the message doesn't get through, so of course communicate. If you can't communicate with a spouse or with a friend, that relationship will never be healthy. Right? So communication skills are very important. I'm not talking about that. I think that's important. As I mentioned last week, you have to communicate calmly when you're in the right set of mind. You're able to articulate your ideas. And when you're calm, at the right time, you know, if you see your friend, your child, your spouse, your parent is edgy, agitated, stressed, that's not a good time to communicate. And you pick a good opportunity when life is going good. Your husband says, let's go for a walk. Oh, great. Time to go for a walk. Things are great. And then you figure out how to say it nicely. And you go out to dinner with your mother, and life is good. I do say a few compliments, and then you try, you know, because this relationship is important, I want to communicate. But if you do and you're upset and angry, you're not going to get anywhere. But we're not talking about lack of communication. I'm talking about emotional reactions. I'm not wearing makeup. I'm not talking to this person. I'm not being so friendly. I'm not being warm. Or worse, I'm angry. And they'll feel my wrath. The look. You know, that look like you want to rip someone's head off. Not that anyone here would have that look. But, you know, the look. Like, you see the person across. Right? So that's not corrective. That's not communication. Right? That's reactive emotional reactions. So, sure.
Very practical, I think, advice, everybody. If you still have at times, you know, an intense feeling of frustration over a situation, what do you do on the spot until right? It might not be the right time to communicate your frustration because you might not be able to use the right word and so forth, but you're frustrated. It happened already. You've been working on self-awareness and still you got caught, you're frustrated. So right. What do you do until, what do you do?
So I'll tell you a famous story. It's a good question. Thank you. Seller. Famous story. There was once in the 20th century, there was a sif of great gedolim, and they were discussing, I don't want to tell you the topic because it would take us off topic. It was a very contentious discussion and debate amongst the great sages of Europe on how to deal with a certain thing. Very contentious. And at one point, two of the elder greatest sages had a sharp disagreement about what to do. One of them was the Chafetz Chaim, and the other was the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chachma, Mir Simcha Mitzvinsk. Everyone heard of these people? Right? These are like giants of giants. Okay? By the way, they're both Kohanim. Okay? The Chafetz Chaim may be a little more famous, but I'll tell you one thing. The Chaim Soloveitchik, the from Brisk, when he asked someone to say, to have a man during Brisk Kohanim, he asked the Or Sameach. And the Or Sameach was a giant of giants. There's a Shiva named after the Or Sameach, right? Yeah. So that's how most people. So the guys had this discussion, and it got heated. The Chafetz Chaim held one way, the Or Sameach held another way. And the Or Sameach thought the Chafetz Chaim was so wrong, and he got very upset. And in the middle of the conversation, he walked out of the room. He literally just got up out of the room and walked out. You know, because he felt he was going to just tell the Chafetz Chaim strong language. He walked out. Chafetz Chaim remarks, look, he's upset he walked out, a good thing, right? So if you can't deal with the situation, and there may be a moment, walk out. get out of the situation. Don't talk. And if you're stuck, go, you know, say, I need a few minutes. Right? Better to say, I need a few minutes than say the wrong thing. I will tell you again, I can't say I'm the most experienced, but I have some experience. Words will haunt you for years if you say the wrong things. And the most intimate relationships, parent-child, right, that those words just echo. And even if you're upset, the fact that your mother called you, whatever, or a husband called you, or a sister called you, it will always echo in your ear at some level. So the worst thing to do is to express it. If you're stuck in that situation, say, I need a few minutes, and get out of it. And I'm telling you a story of two great sages.
Call a time out.
Huh?
You call a time
out. Right, exactly, exactly. Exactly, if you feel you, and again, these are, if Samech needed a time out in life, then we all can need a time out in life. It's not, nothing wrong. Umiyad imishu b'sivasa pogea b'over b'era. See somebody do something. Master Panamir Venois and Otoy Vechesed. I'm not going to invite this person, I'm not going to be friendly with them, I'm not going to do anything. Now, again, if someone's a negative influence, we're not saying to hang out with this person. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about your friends, your girlfriends, okay? Your girlfriend's a normal person. Normal people make mistakes and do dumb things. And normal people, over the course of years, will do something that's hurtful towards you, okay? Not, sometimes it can even be malicious, they're in a bad mood. Most of the time, it's innocent or lack of foresight, or just short-sighted. Okay, so I'm out dealing with this person anymore. They're not for me anymore. Right? Or the relationship is hampered for the next 5 years. You know, 5 years later, maybe I'll forget the serious capital offense that she, you know, she invited this girlfriend for a walk and not me. How dare she? Right? She forgot it's my birthday. Serious things that deserve capital punishment. Voice Ishi, he says, he's actually talking to an Akurlo. He says, to a Tamacham, think, right, if you are like Hashem. Hashem doesn't say, I gave you life, you sinned, off with your head. Right? The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is that I'll give you a chance to repair. If you are a patient bearing person, you'll be able to deal with the things around you without destroying it, without ruining it, without ruining yourself. Because guess what? When you're emotional, when you're not wearing makeup, you don't feel good because you're spiteful to your husband. Right? But it's not, I'm not going to be campaigning to wear makeup, but but it's not a bad thing. Or to look nice for your husband. I just, as a side point, I rarely have an opportunity to only ladies, I'm not going to say this in front of men, but it's such an important investment. People get dressed up for shul or for outside occasions. The most important person to dress up is for your loved ones. I mean, it just, you know, to walk around in a snood and whatever, like, unkempt, like, it would be a terrible, terrible loss of importance. You know, when you're around someone important, you look good. There's no one more important than your loved one. Okay, this is just aleph base. So you don't feel good if you're smart enough to do that. You don't feel good. I mean, when you see this girlfriend you used to be really friendly with, and now you feel uncomfortable around it, it's not a good feeling for you. Not the relationship. It's you're ruining your own world. Right? It's not healthy for you. Again, now there are relationships which are not healthy. No one's going to invest in that. Most people, though, it's not a question of unhealthy. It's people making mistakes. Right? Or people had a bad day. Or people lost their temper. Okay? The people lose their temper. Good people. Right? Good people say things which are hurtful. Good people do things which are dumb all the time. All of us included. Right? We do it to others. We hope they forgive us. Right? And we should be forgiving. So that, the key is, I mean, notice that
Mr. Sidorovsky never does that.
Never. That's what I want me. So he said, like, so if we don't bear, we're going to be ruining our personal world and our relationship to us and our relationship to Hashem. Okay? In our relationship to Hashem. Now we're going to add on to what we discussed last week. Now for this 15 minutes, we're going to add on. I think you're going to have to add on to these 15 minutes. Not the time.
Oh.
The quality. If you want to add to the 3 minutes, it didn't work like a charm. You're saying you can have an army over there. So we learned another way. How are we going to have these 15 minutes, which we're going to build off? Ki asavlan mufka mikas. That asavlan is removed from anger. Ein lo dai bezeh. Hasavlan mamshik. It's not that you're at the table 15 minutes, right? Now let's go back to the kiddush, spill the ketchup. And you got to stop. Now you're sitting there angry. I'm not going to express it. No. What could I get you next? You're going to continue to be chesed. Because you know what? The kid is a kid. Well, there are big kids and there are little kids. You're going to be... People make mistakes. You'll be just as giving to them. Right? You're not going to change. You'll be giving even though they messed up. Again, if someone's malicious, someone's dangerous, we're not talking about such a person. Those people still have to be... Can't lose your cool, but don't hang out with them, right? A person who is a negative person, we're not talking about. We're talking about people who do thoughtless or moments of weakness or just regular human beings.
Impulsive.
What?
Sometimes are very impulsive.
People are impulsive, and some people are stressed, and people, right? So, Asal Mamshla Hatevi does good even after Pigia. By the way, I have to recommend the book. My wife got this book. She's been reading it by her bed, and so I've been picking it up here and there. This book, I am floored. I don't know, maybe some of you read this book. It's about Robertson Kanievsky, about Sheva Kanievsky.
I've heard of that.
This book, in the beginning I was floored. I was telling my wife to read it again and read it again because it talked about how she let her husband learn a lot of Torah, and I was like, this is a great book. You know, thanks for having me this book. It's fantastic. You know, my wife's friend told her she feels guilty stopping her husband for her Torah. I was like, this is perfect. What a gift for wives. But then I got...
Name?
It's about Batsheva Kanievsky, Rebetzin Kanievsky. It's an art school book. Art school.
Okay, but name?
You ask my wife. She'll know. But the point that I wanted to get to, it talks about she had open hours in her house. I was there many times. Not to speak to her, but to speak to her husband. I think I said hello to her maybe once, but I saw her quite a few times. And it talks about her open hours and the people who would come into her house. For those who, I mean, you read how she dealt with people. Some of these people came into her house, insulted her, and she'd constantly give to them. I mean, you read about a person, and you know what her husband said, her greatest mida is? He told her sons to stress at the Shiva house, that she was a savlan. That's what he said. This is exactly this chaburo. He said about his wife that she was her greatest mida. In the book it brings out that before Shiva, his sons, they asked him, what should they stress? He said, stress that your mother was a savlan. Not that Rebetzin Kanievsky was spread herself for Torah, which she did, unbelievable. Not that she was a holy lady in her power of prayer, but she was able to give so much to so many people. I mean, it's unbelievable. This book, it's shocking. Such a human being lived in our generation, right? So, I mean, shocking. I mean, the plus of reading such a book is you can see what a human being can become. Now, it's not that shocking if you read the book about her grandfather, Rabbi Arya Levine, a tzaddik of our time. Right? Also, fantastic. Anyone remember that book? Right? Fantastic book. Right? You learn about a person who was a savlan. But reading books about people allow us to aim high. So it's one of the things that Ramchal recommends in Path of the Just and Sosa Sharim is to read about Tzadikim and Tzadkanias because it allows us to imagine what we could become as well. It gives us a vision of what we should aspire to. I am positive that Rebetzin Kanievsky had bad days. I'm positive. And the book is going to stress her fantastic days. But you know what? If we could have been close to her, we'd be in good shape, right? Good shape. So it's a good book to read. So the more we asava, not only won't we react negatively, we'll still be a giver. Even, and he says to this, you have to be a lamdan. A lamdan in yeshivish means a person who can dissect the Talmud. But what he's referring to is to be erudite. How you do it, to know how every situation is different, right? You have to be able to understand human psychology, to understand your own psychology, and to know that no two situations are alike, and no two moments are alike, and to figure out things that go. But not to be reactive and recoil. So here's our 15-minute qualitative change. You don't have to add on more. 15-minute qualitative change. And that is, if in anything in that 15 minutes, if something does something to you, negative, hurtful, annoying, not to react negatively, but to continue to do good. Right, now, I'm at my dinner table, so I don't think anyone in my family is going to throw a rock at me. They may throw food at me, they're not going to throw a rock. So what do I know? I know that I'm in a situation, well, I picked a purposeful situation. If this kid's sick, this kid's not in a good mood, if this kid doesn't want soup this way, the chicken has too much ketchup, no, too little ketchup, right? This one's sitting in my seat. No, this one's in my seat. This is, by the way, every night, just in different permutations. So it's not that I'm going to upset the kid and your sister's going first, this one's in my... Of course, it may be I need to teach them a lesson, and that's part of it as well. But it's a little bit easier because I'm a parent and I have an intrinsic love. But I'm not going to be reactive, right? And with spouses, I know because I have dealt with it enough in my office. People react and they do things, emotional reaction, whether it's makeup or talking or even more severe things, or they're just getting into fights or they're not as friendly or warm. You're not going to be unwarm. Your spouse is not someone you're not ever unwarm with. I mean, this is, you may need to communicate. A parent, your mother, a father, you're always warm too. Okay, assuming you're in a functional, normal, healthy relationship, right, the normal people, and maybe you have to communicate, and it may be you have to articulate, but you're never cold, cool, screaming. It doesn't go. And even with people who you think are a little bit more perturbing or annoying, you have to learn how to not let that bother you as well. Okay? This is Vod, the first part. Ready for number two? Yeah? Number two is Mrs. Avni's question. A little bit different, but it also shows how crucial, how integral patience is. If you want to learn how to be patient, you have to learn how to be patient with others. And patience with others will save us from chaos, will save us from anger. We also have to be patient with ourselves. Harotzen hatayv, lavod velalos, nitkol tamei becholushes of it. Our desire to grow in life, yeshiva we say to steig, right, means to grow, is we stumble many times. Why? By our character deficiencies, right? We're weak in character at some level. Each of us have our own personal weaknesses in different areas. B'shicha, we forget. I'm not supposed to get angry. Right? I'm going to speak to my kid gently. I'm going to, not be sad when this happens. I'm going not to be lazy. I'm going to get to show. I'm going to get to this class. I'm going to do this. We have character deficiencies. B'shich, we forget. B'yatzivis, we're not consistent, we're not stable, right? Some days we're good, people die to like this, one day they have a good day, a bad day, pretzels are a little bit too close to me today, or whatever. Most people are tempted by pretzels, the chocolate, the ice cream, right? To walk into parks, you have to be careful over there, right? Which aisle you work on, okay? Hey, we have a good, we're okay sometimes, and other days, not as much. Or anything other Yetzirah, sometimes we're happy in all the days, sad. Karka Shinasan Lazibos, God gives us rocky fields, right? Each one of our rocky fields are a little bit different. V'oy v'voy, woe is to a person. She'ein lo savanos im atzmo, has no patience with themselves. Chish Maher, then very quickly, Misaish Mikol Avoid Aliyah. I'm going to give up completely of all growth. They'll give up. I'm just the person who's not going to be calm. I'm a nervous wreck. I've been a nervous wreck since I'm 20. I was a nervous wreck when I'm 30. I was a nervous wreck when I'm 40 and 50. I'm a nervous wreck. Leave me alone. I can't change. I'm argumentative. I was argumentative when I'm 36. I'm argumentative now. I am not a warm person. Even though being a warm person, some people are naturally warm. Being warm to your children is healthy for everyone. I mean, if you're not warm to your children, you're depriving them. at some level. I'm not a warm shoulder. I'm not warm to my parents. Every parent wants warmth. What parent doesn't want warmth from their children? What parent doesn't want warmth for their children? Not warmth, no warmth for my spouse. I mean, not warm with your spouse. I mean, something's looking at this. I'm not warm. Now, again, some people are naturally warm, and some people have to work on that. But if you don't have a warmth, it's something you should work on. Right? It doesn't mean, it's important for relationships to feel a sense of warmth. Okay? So, a person doesn't have patience with himself, they give up. Even if they don't give up completely, they fall into depression. Now, some people, I'm not talking about clinical issues over here, they fall in, they're depressed. I wanted to work on this, but it's not matzliach. It's not for me. I've seen this in yeshivas. You see boys who have aspirations to be talmidei chachamim, Torah scholars, and they give up. Right? They give up. I remember I was learning with somebody many years ago. This kid was the captain of this basketball team on Long Island. Very good basketball player. I, in my youth, played basketball, so I could relate to this. So he's younger than me. So I told him, he said, Gemara's not for me. Gemara's not for me. How did this guy had a type A personality beyond belief? And then he wasn't the best at the thing he was doing. He was willing to give up immediately. So I said to him as follows. He said, let me explain this to you. And when you're like 7 years old, you go to the basketball court, and you see guys playing ball, 16 years old, right? Dribbling behind, imagine this is basketball, I'm sure, right? Dribbling behind the back, through the legs, dunking the ball, slapping high fives, having a great time. You say, yeah, wow, this is something I want to do, this looks so much fun. So you're a 7 year old, you get on the court, you take the ball, you can barely dribble, right? You take the ball, you throw it, it looks like a fun, you throw it, you hit the bottom of the net. So it doesn't even hit the net. Third time you throw your harness, you hit the clunk at the bottom of the rim. This game is the worst game in the world. Right? But you see all the big guys are having fun. Looks like a good thing. So you start to practice. You go out there every day. By the time you're 9, 10, you start hitting some shots. Right? 11, 12, you start playing more. Do the ball. By the time you're 14, 15, this is the best game in the world. You can't play off the court. So, did basketball change? No. You change. You are able to play the game. So I told this guy, Gemara is the same thing. If you have no skills in Gemara, Gemara is going to be very frustrating and aggravating. But if you learn the game, you'll be good at it. Well, if you give up, you never get there. Right? And whatever trait we're going to be working, we're having to be working on self-love. This is a general thing. Right? You're never going to get it, but if you think it's going to happen in one night, now some of us here, I'm sure anger is not our biggest problem. I know somebody asked me, could you work on talking about happiness? And someone asked me, could you work on this? All good. I mean, I can't do it all at once, but all good, right? But whatever you want to work on, whether it's prayer, whether it's self-loveness, whether it's being a giver, being a warm person, it doesn't happen overnight. It could take years. I mentioned last week about Moshe Feinstein. It's the end of his life. He was, it takes years. Of course, you'll see improvement steady but surely, but it could be years. And you'll have failures. You'll have days but if a person gives up, it's because they don't have the patience for it. They have wrong expectations. They don't have the vision and the perseverance to get to where they have to. And the way you have that is by patience, understanding that things don't happen overnight. And if you don't, you can have atzmas. There's nothing as destructive to serving God as depression, unhappiness. It's a knockout for the Yetzirah. You become paralyzed. Right? If you are depressed, right, that's the greatest. You're not in the mood to do anything. I'm just not in the mood. Right, you don't want to daven, you don't want to study if you're a boy, you don't want to do kind deeds, you don't want guests, you want to just leave me, it's not in a mood to connect to Hashem. The worst thing, and certainly if it gets severe depression, that is the greatest, because you just have to work on your individual mitzvahs and affairs. You're just not going to do anything. It's like, I am not in the mood for anything. A person just completely gets out of the mood. So depression, when a person feels and not going anywhere is the worst thing in the world. Ha'adam, very often, a person starts growing, and this is not only a person becoming observant, but a person, you know, I had a guy at my table Friday night from a different city, so I asked him, you know, do you work on this? I first thing heard this question in his life, are you working on Shabbos? Are you working on prayer? What do you mean? I'm not an ish, you know, like, I said, well, what do you think the purpose of life is? You know, yeah, I mean, the guy heard. So imagine this guy left San Jose, goes back to the East Coast and says, okay, I've been religious my whole life, but now I'm going to have Shabbos. I'm not going to do Shabbos, I'm going to work on Shabbos every single Shabbos. Right? I'm going to work on Shabbos, because if I just do Shabbos, I don't work on Shabbos, it's not going to be Shabbos like it's supposed to be. I'm going to work on Bein Semiras, I'm going to work on the Parsha, I'm going to work on feeling close to Hashem, which is Shabbos supposed to bring. Right? And lo and behold, he gets back. He was gone for November 6th, the election comes. And his wife was a Republican. And he had the discussion, and then he meets on the shul. He says, "What happened over here?" And he doesn't have Shabbos. And you know what he can easily do? Give up. I want to go to Shabbos. I can't do this. I told someone about Lashon Hara. Oh, I tried it once, twice. This thing's not for me. Once in a while I can do it, but I can't be consistent, right? So a person, you know, they. I'm not, even in life, they're inspired to do something. If they're, every year, all of us have inspiration by Yom Kippur. I hope. If you don't inspire Yom Kippur, speak to the rabbi, please. You walk out of Yom Kippur, this is what I'm going to do. Right? I'm inspired, Hashem, I'm going to do, and you know what happens? Start to finish, start, and some things, some people achieve, but many things you don't. You know why? Because we have the wrong approach. Right, it doesn't happen overnight, right? I mean, or take on too much at once. So a person changes; they want to change. Rak ischazek yachol bavada lispalo. Kol shilasa v'kavana. Lasak means achas achas v'yaltsa v'seder. If a person strengthens himself, they can imagine this: daven every prayer with intention. Right, daven every prayer with kavana. Every prayer. We can fix our character traits one after one, and we can become consistent. We imagine the following thing. Now, this is all possible, by the way. But if any of us walk out of here tonight and say, oh, by tomorrow, I'm going to dive into the rest of my life, all my prayers with Kavana. I'm going to have sterling character traits, and I'm going to be consistent every day. So what happens in a week from now or less, when you don't see this Hatzlacha, you'll be very disappointed. Okay? There's a fantastic medrash. Listen to this medrash. The medrash is in Shmais Rabba. It's talking about, anyone ever learned Eov? Eov? Anyone learn Job? Okay. So Elihu was the last person to respond to Eov after he got sick and he was questioning what's happened. So Elihu says to Eov, Hashem doesn't have the kayach for this. That's the verse. The God does not have the mighty strength for this. So the marriage says to you, somebody who hears Elihu says this thinks he's saying blasphemy. But what Elihu is telling Eov is, you don't find the mighty strength of God with his creatures. The Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come with his creatures too difficult, but Ella lifi koicho. He only expects us according to our strength. If God gives a Torah and comes with all this koyach, we wouldn't be able to stand. But he comes to us each according to our strength. Lefi koycho, says Rav Volbo, is a tremendous principle in serving God. We're not exactly 100%. Koma halakha voida, sha'anu misnasim, as we grow in life, we have to build office. That means we have to go slowly but surely. Right? We can't expect immediate results. But what we do have to have is perseverance. In a dream world, you read this book about Rebbetzin Kanievsky, you're like, oh my goodness, this lady, I wish I could be like that. Like, a heart like that. A giver like that. I've told my wife to read that book again and again. I said, please, read the book. She happens to be fantastic. But can you imagine, like, this lady? It's unbelievable. Right? Unbelievable. So, reimagine, like, you know, that we're going to be like that, and we start working on ourselves, and doesn't that happen right away? So we'll be disappointed. But the way we do it is going slowly by slowly. You know, I'm sure all of us have had this experience. I know certain things that I've worked on for 20 years, and I'm a lot better today. I'm not perfect in it, but I see tremendous dividends from it. Right? Tremendous dividends from it. You know, but if I would have imagined 20 years, it would take me 20 years. I don't know if I would. you gotta be slowly but surely. You can't jump too far, but you have to jump a little bit. He says, "Tafas, to move a little fast. If you try to get too much, you don't get anything at all." Right? And because if you don't have that patience with yourselves, we'll give up right away, or we'll become depressed. Okay, you'll give up right away, or you'll become depressed. Okay. So we need tremendous patience with ourselves. We need to be patient with ourselves, because if we want to accomplish, patience is not apathy with ourselves. We're gonna have goals. But we need to be patient. We shouldn't, of course, be apathetic, but we should be consistent in a way in improving and realize, as the verse initially says, and the Bali Musar stressed, Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, that seven times a righteous person falls and gets up. Right? Even if you fall many, many times, if you continually get up, you'll be successful. If you don't get up, you'll never be successful. Sheva yipol tzaddik means you're on the path, you get up. Right? You don't quit. Right? You decide you want to be a person who's never angry. Don't quit. Work on the goal, you'll get there. Right? You'll get there. Don't quit. The problem is that we give in. We quit. Right? Don't quit. So, in fact, with Hutner, who was a Rebbe of Rav Volba, to say that the way you grow is by falling. That if you want to, let me give an example. Right? If you want to work on savlanus, you mess up. Okay, that mess up should be a tremendous light for the future. Of course, we didn't want to mess up, but now we know how we messed up, why we messed up, and we'll figure out how I won't mess up next time. Right? On the contrary, we use that stumbling block as a light for the future. In fact, part of the growth is that mess up. It's going to propel us. First of all, that bitter feeling of messing up. Number two is realizing how I messed up and how I'll be better. Okay? Right? And how I'll react better. If a person, again, as somebody asked me to talk about happiness. So a person thinks they have a tendency to think negatively. Okay? Right. Anyone read Plotkin's books? Fantastic books, by the way. It was Zelig Plotkin. Fantastic books. So he talks in this book, Gateway to Happiness, about negative thinking. So he said he was once talking to a guy about, you know, they were talking about it, and he was trying to help this guy not think negatively. So he points out to this guy, you see, there you are, you're thinking negatively. So the guy says, oh, no, I'll never change. Now I see that, you know, his negative reaction to that was, no, I'll never change. Right? His negative reaction was telling me, I can never do better. But on the contrary, he brings this guy, I think, if I remember this book, he says he changed, one of the people did change. But if we want to think, if a person thinks negatively, which is, negative thinking is one of the greatest causes of depression. Anger or depression, right? Some people, negative thinking leads them to anger, other people leads them to depression, other people to anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. Negative thinking is going to have a negative reaction. Different people handle it differently. Some people, they get depressed. Some people are just very anxious with negative thinking, and some people get very angry. They just, like, they imagine whatever, and they walk around angry in life. Okay? And, you know, and they give up. I know people religiously that give up because of negative thinking. I know people give relationships because of negative thinking. I know people who ruin relationships because they're angry. I know people who can't sleep at night because they're anxious because of their negative thinking. So a person wants to work on negative thinking. If they imagine they're a negative thinker, that they're going to listen to one class or work on it for 1 week and they're going to be a positive thinker, they're going to be really disappointed and they'll just be negative with the negativity. They're not going to get anywhere. But if a person says to themselves as follows, I'm going to be a positive thinker. I am going to be a positive thinker. Okay? I mean, that, by the way, oh, what a difference your life would be. Be a positive thinker. How fantastic. Right? But that's going to take years. Now you'll have immediate rewards. Because any time I think positively, I've already gained something. Right? But it's going to take much effort, many failures, many going back to the drawing board and starting over again, figuring out how I think more positively. Right? Many times of being disappointed how I dealt with it and thinking why I messed up. You know, another day myself, I was thinking negatively about something. Okay, I woke up in the morning, like, why in the world was I thinking like that? Like, why in the world? Why in the world? It was like so dumb. You know, so absolutely dumb. But you don't work on it. It's not going to change. If you imagine, though, you go to one class, you know, you'll decide to be a positive thinker, change overnight. If a person's a negative thinker, if a person's not a negative thinker, it can take less. But if a person's legitimately a negative thinker, it takes years. Mamish years, you'll gain immediately something, and over time you'll gain more and more and more. But it's a many-year project. You can't imagine it's going to happen immediately. You do it slowly, steadily and surely, and you'll get there. And Sheva Yipol Tzav become, you always get up. You get up, and you're patient with yourself. Right? You're patient to get to the point you need to get to. Palim Rabbis, Kishonim Adam Avodaisu, he says very often, you ask a person how they're doing. Now, Volba was a mashkiach of the yeshiva, which means he was a spiritual head of the yeshiva. He would ask boys all the time, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? He said, and then what's their answer? Srichim Siyat Hashmaya, I need divine help. Ma aluva imrazu. How despicable this answer is. Well, wait, I need God's help. So what does that answer say? Ha'omer kachoshiv, he thinks, the person who says this, imagine, ki hu kvar asa kol mashavichalat lasas. I've done everything I could. I've read Reb Zelig Plissman's book on positive thinking. I'm done. You know, I worked on myself for 5 minutes over a week. You know, I need God's help now. I've done my part. Right? Mamish, I've done my part. Right? I've had people, like, who, like, just become religious and then they get frustrated. Like I put in all my effort. Why is this happening to me? Like, they, you know, red carpet. I need God's help now. Roxy after the Shema was talking about, I've done my but just level everything that's waiting, the fact that I'm not cool, calm, relaxed, or I'm not positive thinker, or I'm not the balas chesed, the person of chesed I could be, right? The reason this has happened is all because of God, right? That's, you know, if God would help me, I'd be fine, but, you know, obviously he doesn't want it. The Haribah saves some people, a person that's in their heart, they blame God for the non-success. Right. I remember once I was talking to a bachur in yeshiva. She said, I came to this yeshiva and I tried. You know, obviously it's not meant to be. Now, you know, yeah, like boy tried for like 2-3 days. I happened to, by the way, I almost wrote this boy a letter to get into a different yeshiva. He was there for 2 years. He was very happy. You know, after 2 weeks he learned to like the yeshiva a lot and became in love. But the first 3 days, you know, like ready to give up everything. You know, like literally everything. So we do that all the time. Like I tried, you know, I think I once mentioned in one of my classes at Drushas, I had a friend, this is when I hear a good attitude. We're learning in Queens together, who's going to Lakewood Yeshiva. You know, and we ended up both there, but he beat me there. So I said to him, how do you know you like Lakewood? Lakewood's a big yeshiva, and, you know, big places, some people fall through the cracks. So I said to him, you know, how do you know you like the yeshiva? So he tells me, because I'm going to make myself like the yeshiva. If you have that attitude, you will like the yeshiva. You know why? Because you're not going to give up. If we say, I'm going to make myself not get angry, that means whatever happens, as long as it takes, I'll get there. If the person wants to be a positive thinker, I'm going to be a positive. How do you know you're a positive thinker? I'm going to be. Of course you need divine assistance, but if we have that attitude, right, we don't want to wait for hand-me-outs to God, like, you know, like, I'll do 2% of my effort and I wait for 90% from God. That's not what it is. Being a positive thinker, being a calm person is a lifetime of work. Right? And again, it's well worth the price. Well worth the price. Right? Being a happy person, being a holy person, being a person who learns Torah, well worth the price. It takes effort. Question?
Wow, that's pretty good. I was thinking a question. No, I was thinking, what is my question? But, I'm imagining that you're not, because there are times in one's life where I'm going to have to think of the question and ask it later. I can't remember. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, I saw you articulate a question.
Yeah, well, because being positive is a good thing, and it has a positive influence on ourselves as well as those around us. But there are times when we have to be honest with ourselves too, and if something isn't right in our lives, what I was wondering is it always a good thing to just talk like everything's great?
Being positive doesn't mean being naive. I don't want to get too much of this because that's the topic.
Yeah.
Being positive does not mean being naive. Being positive means, okay, this is not right. Great, I switch. That's all you're doing. You're like, you know, I'm positive that I have to do something else. Let's say this. A person, their kid is not doing well in this situation. The family relationship, right? Not an easy situation. It'd be much easier not to deal with it, right? But a person thinks to themselves, I'll be, you know, positive that this, I will fix this kind of situation, right? So that's a difficult situation in life. But even this difficult situation, I'll find how I'll deal with it correctly. And that is positive thinking, right? Somebody gets sick. Well, let me think how, you had a flu, okay? If you think positively, are you being dumb? No, you know you have a flu. You're sitting in bed, you know, half knocked out, you know? So what do you think? So you can think that this is awful. Now you think it's like, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. I had so many appointments. Why me? I had to take my kids. I had this. Right? How come this one's not sick? How come I'm sick? Why now? Why this? I don't know if I'm going to survive this. My husband, he's not helping me out enough. Why can't he do more? The kids have no understanding what I'm going through. That's negative thinking. Positive thinking is, okay, you're sitting there in bed half knocked out because you're sick. you're not naive about that. But, you know, this is a kapara. This is an atonement. I'm going to learn from this to appreciate every day I'm healthy. And you know, now that I know what a flu is, I'm going to help people when they have a flu. And I can read this book on Rebbetzin Kanievsky that's been sitting by my bed, and he mentioned 8 months ago, right? And I heard this on the tape now, I'll read the book now! Right? Or I'm going to think how to be a better mother or when my kids are sick, because now I know how they feel. And the fact that I am so short on strength and energy, I know when my kids are sick, I can relate to them that the fact that they're misbehaving is not because they're bad kids, that they're just, so same sickness. You're not being naive to the flu. You're just thinking positively as opposed to negatively. Okay, so the pasuk says in Mishlei, Ivelis Adam Tisav Darko Val Hashem Yizaf Libo. The foolishness of man makes his way crooked, and he blames God, and he's angry at God. Hagrol Ma'aver Hashem, the Vilna Gaon expounds and elucidates. Lefamim Adam maskil u'matayr, the person begins to do Torah mitzvahs. Now, sometimes the person was not observant, and then they become observant. Sometimes the person was, you know, floating along in mediocrity in the FFB world, or in the religious world, you know, being a mediocre Jew, and they heard a shiur about not being mediocre, I'm gonna go, and they go full force ahead, right? And they started to get excited, right? And all of a sudden, they find life a little difficult. It doesn't go as smoothly as they anticipated. They imagined if I did this, then life should be dandy. You know, I made a little effort. I did. You know, the red carpet should just come right out. Right? Everything should go right smoothly. I come to shul every day during the week. God should be showering with me. Showering. I come to shul on time. I went to the class, I mean, I'm a tzaddikus, right? Women, I don't go to the mikvah, I dive for 20 minutes before I go to the mikvah, I should be having triplets every single time, and every day grow up, they should...
That's a
woman. What's wrong? It's a piece of cake, no? My wife's a triplet.
I know that.
Yeah.
Rabbi Ab's sister just had trouble.
Yeah, I know.
He said, when he told us, he said, better than me.
Yeah. So, I mean, but we imagine, triplets aside, we imagine, like, you know, I do this, a woman wears a sheitel, she thinks all of a sudden God's gonna just, and I will be, these are all great, fantastic things. Davening every day and wearing a sheitel, all great things. Going to make fantastic things. So don't get me wrong. But we all of a sudden imagine, like, if I do something, everything will go, I decide I'm gonna become. It says Lavul Magayin, it doesn't work out the way they like, and they get angry. And it doesn't, God help those who call a person wants Siyata Shemaya, we do our part. So he says, but a person jumped steps. He says, a person goes step by step, right? Step by step, then they get somewhere in life. What happens if you jump steps? If you go up a floor or two, you start jumping steps. What happens if you jump a few too many steps at once?
You fall
on your face, you break your back, you broke your nose, you injure yourself. Right? If you go too fast, too quickly, or you have wrong expectations, then on the contrary, your growth could become a negative. Right? You become either despair, or depressed, or angry. That's Ivelis Adam to Sodar, the foolishest a man makes his way crooked. Hashem Yisrael for evil, and he gets then angry. Hashem, Kasu lehatus in asavasim atzmei nabis l'adamasis. So it's not when we're working on ourselves, being patient with ourselves. It's not like I can sit down 15 minutes at the table with my kids. I can practice being patient with others. How do we become patient with ourselves? How do we become realistic that we should persevere, that we shouldn't quit, that we should be patient and diligent to get to the goal we want, right? So he says that the words of the Gra give us a path. So Vlana Zu in Iraq Mida Shibidyevid. Higher lowly sash kvarkshano. It's not just that I shouldn't give up when I fall. You know, I fall off the horse, I'll get back on. I fell off working, I'll continue my path. Elhi Mikhayevis Kam Gishulchilop. If Nigash Lavar Nistar Asma Vishwadas. Vinikba Mashinuchalichmas, we have to be realistic with ourselves. Where am I holding today? We have to know where we are. We have to know what the next step is. Okay? We have to know ourselves to know what our next step is. And everyone here is going to have different steps and different things. For some people here, you know, we're going to work on tznius. Alright, tznius doesn't mean just the way you dress, the way we act, our demeanor. Our step, modesty. Modesty. Yeah. So our steps are different. Some people take 3 steps at a time in that. And that's normal, and someone could take a half a step, and that's okay. But for that other person, they can take 5 steps in patience. Some people can take 5 steps in laziness, right, to be more alacrity. Some people can take positive, you know, again, if you're a negative thinker, the reason I pick negative thinking is because there are people who are negative thinkers, when they start becoming aware of it, and they're cognizant, they want to change. But they give up the quickest of any midah that I've ever met. People who are negative thinkers give up easiest. Anger is actually a close second. People who are angry tend to rationalize it, which is why I came full force. But negative thinkers, they want to think positively, but they revert in any situation to negative thinking. You know, sometimes because they're tired, sometimes they're hungry, sometimes because they had a bad day, sometimes because they didn't like the food at the Stanford Hillel, sometimes, oh no, I'm joking. Sometimes because their mother called them and insulted them, or really didn't insult them, the negative thinking makes them insult them. Sometimes because their husband didn't compliment them enough, and he really did, the negative thinking took it away. But they give up the quickest. I never see people who want to change, and they literally give up, and they go backwards.
Because you revert to time. I
mean, right, so what he's saying here, I'm using an example, or impatience, what we're talking about, being, not giving up is not enough. It has to be, you know, what we're holding, that we know how to do these incremental steps based on who we are, right? Because if we're unrealistic of how we can change, then we're not going to change, right? We have to know what our next step is and how we'll get there. Hey, if you're a negative thinker and you had Hurricane Sandy and you have no power and electricity, if you imagine you'll be walking around the house calm, relaxed, and thinking positive, I mean, most people who are positive thinkers are going to be devastated by that. obviously that's going to be a too big jump for most people. Right? So someone who's a negative thinker has to say, what my next step is, how I'll handle this better. Right? we mentioned the question about anger. Some people, if they imagine they'll never get angry, it could be that their step is whenever they're upset, they'll walk out of the room. That's a step. It's the recognition that I can handle that. I cannot handle being smiley. I can't do that. It's just not me. So that knowledge is knowing where we are. And that will allow us to take that next step correctly. So we can't give up, but we also have to know the steps we need to take in it. That's part of this patience in our growth. Is someone we're going to work on it. So now we're working on patience. We're working on not getting anger. So we have to know ourselves. Right? We have to know ourselves. We have to know how we are going to improve. We have to know what our next step is. Right? And we have to be aware as we're doing it how to do it. If we have that patience with ourselves and we know personally how we deal with life and how we deal with stressful situations, how we deal with when people do things that we don't like, we don't appreciate, or we're in a bad mood anyways. You know, sometimes we get angry, we woke up angry. I was in a bad mood. Like, and the fact that this person, you know, like, I once said in one of the drushes, some people wake in a bad mood and just, you have to step in their way. You know, you're the unlucky recipient. It's nothing to do with you. Just, they woke up in a bad mood. Right? So if we know we wake up in a bad mood, we have to know what our step is when we're in that bad mood. So patience with ourselves, to summarize these two things, and this will help us in working on patience with others. Number one, is not giving up and committing to the challenge, right? Not giving up, being willing to say, I'll fall and I'll fall again, and I'll think over how to do it, and I'll be better tomorrow, and I'll work on it, and over time I'll get better, and the dividends are fantastic. And number two, individually, we have to know where we're holding in life and what our next step is, what's realistic for us. And if we do that, then we won't be disappointed. On the contrary, we'll realize, you know, the steps that we need to take to increase our patience and decrease our anger. And that doesn't only apply to this, it applies to all meters. We will continue next week. Thank you.